Is that a great song or what? That's one of my favorites. What is this doing up here? I can't do this. A great song. A great biblical truth, if you would. Okay? Let's pray before we start. God, I thank you for this another opportunity to preach your word. Father, I pray you will hide me behind your cross. Father, I pray you will stretch your hand out and touch my mouth. Put your words into my mouth. Father, I pray that for the hearers that they will respond to the truth, that the truth will affect them. And Father, I pray as this message will go around the world, God, I pray will have a profound effect on the lives of your people. Father, we thank you. We love you. In your name, amen. We'll be in John 14, if you want to turn there, one of my favorite verses of all time. I think I said that last week, but I'm going to say it again this week. John 14, 27. If I can find it, there we go. Title of the message is Peace I Leave With You. And we're going to kind of just piggyback today's message on the backs of last week's message. About peace that surpasses all understanding. So something I think that most people will need in their lives. There was two painters. Two painters were in a contest, and they were told to paint a picture of peace. A picture that represents peace. The first guy, he paints his picture, and it's a kind of a sunrise coming up over a lake, and the waters are very still and very tranquil and very peaceful, and just a picture that would go, yeah, man, that's peace, isn't it? That's just a calmness when I look at that. Man, that's a beautiful picture, a picture of peace. The other guy decides to paint a picture of a storm, dark clouds rolling in, water being rushed, a dark, dark picture, and the winds that looked like they were blowing, and the rains was coming down, and just a really a dark, gloomy kind of a picture. But in a corner of the picture that he painted, there was a rock. And there was a little bird sitting on the rock, singing like birds do. When the storm was coming, that bird was anchored on this rock, if you would. And as the rains came and the winds blew in this picture, the bird, all the bird could do was to sing. I don't know about you, but that's the kind of peace that I want in my life. That when the storms of life come and the winds are blowing, I want to be able to stand on the rock of Jesus and sing. To praise him in the storms, if you would. That's the kind of peace I want. You might not want that, but that's what I want. When life begins to blow my house down, I want the security of that bird that could sing even when the winds are blowing. Peace is where God's tranquility overrides the worries and the conflicts of this old world. God's peace overrides all of that. Webster will tell you peace is freedom from worries and freedom from trials, if you would. It is a time of tranquility. Peace, they say, is a time of calmness, a time of mental serenity. It's a time of quiet. And we all want that, do we not? But in this verse of John 14, 27, Jesus talks about a peace. And he says this in this verse, and I want us to get this verse. And it says this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as a world do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid." What kind of peace is he talking about there? Is he talking about a time when there is no more turmoil in this world? A time of no political unrest? A time where we just all get along? You know, you've heard that phrase, we all just get along. A time where we're just all happy with each other? Is he talking about that kind of peace? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think he is talking about the kind of inner peace that we all need. The kind of inner peace that we're looking for, that some maybe we can't find it. You know, we look for peace, that tranquility, that calmness in our life where we're free from all this anxiety. You know, people have a tendency to look in all kinds of different places to find that. Did you know it? I mean, we look for family and friends to give us peace, to have a peaceful existence. And we know sometimes that just doesn't happen, doesn't it? There's always something or someone in that family or that friendship that kind of just maybe just stirs the pot a little bit, to kind of keep things going. And we find that is not lasting peace in the life of a person. We know in our society, many people look for peace in alcohol and drugs. They think if they can just escape for just an hour or two or three, that everything will be okay. And we find that that's not okay. There's always consequences to that kind of stuff. People look for peace in relationships, thinking if I could just be friends with that person, that I'll be good. They'll bring a quietness to my life. And of course we know nothing will ever bring complete lasting peace, calmness, tranquility in your life. None of those will be able to do it. But there's one thing, one person that can, and it is Jesus. So when he says, "What peace I leave with you, what kind of peace?" I believe the Bible tells us there's two kinds of peace that we all need in our life. Two kinds of peace. One, peace with God, and the other is the peace of God. Those two kinds of peace are the only kinds of peace that will be lasting in the life of a person. Those will last for an eternity. So where does these kinds of peace come from? Well, let's look at peace with God first. Because without peace with God, you can't have the peace of God. I want the peace with God. Did you know that it is impossible to have peace with God because of our sinful nature? The nature that we inherited from Adam and Eve, we all have that same nature. And because of that, that sin nature keeps us from ever being in complete peace with God. We cannot do it on our own. Matter of fact, Psalms 5:10 says, because of our sinful nature, we are enemies with God. I'm not sure you'll hear that in many churches, but that Bible verse says we are enemies with God when we are in our sinful station. There is nothing that we can do in our lives to make us right with God. We can't do it. Our own abilities, we cannot do it. We cannot have peace with God because we are good people or we're nice to everybody else. It can't happen because of our sinful nature. But God. Don't you like that phrase? But God. That is a great phrase. Because no matter what's happening in your life, no matter happening in this world, but God has the final say in all of that. You see, God initiated. He began pursuing mankind by sending his son on his cross, to the cross, so that he might save his people from their sin. God began this process of this broken relationship that mankind had with him, and he goes, I got to do something about this, and he sent his son Jesus to the cross. And what we know about that, His crucifixion provided forgiveness of all of our sins. The shedding of His blood provided for us to be able to be cleansed from all unrighteousness. His resurrection from the grave guarantees you and I that we will live forever with Him in a home in glory. You see, there will never be any peace without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It cannot happen because He is the Prince of Peace. I love Romans 5:1. It says this: "Therefore, having been justified by faith," okay, "peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We are justified by our faith. His crucifixion, His blood, His resurrection. We believe in that. We trust in that. We obey in that. We truly can have peace with God. What a great thing it is to have your sin debt forgiven. You know, God knows. He knows our sin, but He calls us by our name. The devil knows our name, and he calls us by our sin. You see, when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, He calls us righteous. He calls us justified. He calls us, in Ephesians 1, He calls us chosen. He calls us adopted. He calls us forgiven. He calls us blessed. And He said we are sealed by the Holy Spirit for eternity. I don't know about you, but that's a good thing to have peace with God, knowing that He trusts us, He believes in us, and we've been chosen, adopted, and forgiven by God Almighty. Because we have peace with God, our sins are forgiven. Think about that. Our sins are forgiven. We no longer have to carry guilt about our sin, carry the shame about our sin. We no longer have to be condemned because of our sin. The past is past, according to your sin. Did you know it? The past is the past. And we have been forgiven from that. We never will have to be judged by that again. When we are at peace with God, our sins are forgiven. I don't know about you, but that should bring peace to a lot of people. That He has forgiven the past, separated those as far as the east is from the west, never to be brought up again in your life. That's a blessing to have peace with God. I think the second thing, a fringe benefit, if you would, death has no hold on us anymore because we have peace with God. You know, I think a lot of people worry about death. I think maybe not so much as much as they used to. I was talking to, I think it was Jerry Schmidt or somebody, and he had been talking to somebody, and he said, I don't mind going to hell. He said, all my friends are going to be there. You see, that's a problem, okay? So I'm not talking about those guys. I'm talking about you and me, believers, people who know. We don't have to worry about death, do we? We really don't. Because we know, because we have peace with God and we have a personal relationship with His Son, that when we take our last breath here, we'll take our first breath there. I don't know about you, but that's a kind of a big sigh of relief. I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about where my eternity is going to be because I have peace with God through His Son. And I'm thinking, what a great legacy to pass down to your friends and family. A legacy of them knowing where you're going to be for an eternity. How easy it is, I've done a lot of funerals, and how easy it is to do a Christian funeral because the family knows where this person will be. This where he is right now or she is right now. The body is there, but their spirit is in heaven. And when death comes and we have to deal with that, what a joy we can have as Christians knowing that my loved one is in the very presence of Holy God. What a great benefit to have peace with God knowing where my eternity is going to be. That's a biggie right there. I think another benefit of peace with God, we have the Holy Spirit that lives within us. We literally have the God of the universe who lives inside of us. I mean, that's a huge deal. You see, the Holy Spirit, what does He do? He convicts us of our sins. He teaches us the truth of God's Word. And He points us in the right way of which to live our life. That's good stuff. And we have that because we have peace with God. He fills us, or if we let Him fill us, with the fruit of the Spirit. And I say that because sometimes we don't want some of that in our lives. We want to hold back and just think, I don't need the love and the joy and the peace and the kindness and the patience and the gentleness and the faithfulness and the self-control. I mean, I'll take a few of those, but I don't need all of them. And we resist the Holy Spirit working within our lives because we just don't think we need all of those. Walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Galatians 5:16. See, what a great benefit to be at peace with God. We have a God living within inside of us who will help us to live the Christian life. You mean I got to forgive that person? You mean I got to love that person? You mean I need to speak to that person? You mean I need to be nice to that person? I'm supposed to carry the burdens of those people? I can't do that. But with the Holy Spirit living inside of you, you can, because He will empower you to live a life that is worthy of the calling of Christ. He will give you the power to do those things that you can't do in your own flesh. Love others and forgive others. You can't do it. And I'll even go back further to say this, and you can disagree with me if you want to. But if you are always battling people, okay, if you're always struggling with people, and you know what I'm talking about, I think. I mean, there's always some give and take here that you just, somebody rubs you the wrong way. I would say that you are in a backslidden condition, or you've never been born again. Because you see, when we have the fruit of the Holy Spirit, when we got God living inside of us, He changes our heart. He changes our lives. He changes our perspective on things. And we have a desire to follow and be obedient to Him. And when all we can do is just haggle with other people, we are not allowing the Holy Spirit to change our heart. We are not allowing Him to give us that joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all those kind of fruits. And if that's you, I would urge you to look at yourself. Evaluate yourself like the Bible tells us to do. And if you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to produce fruit into your lives, there's a reason why. And I would urge you to go to Him, confess it, agree with Him, let Him clean that up, let Him help you in those areas. Peace with God will affect our relationships with other people. I hope you have peace with God. Because if you don't have peace with God, you can never have the peace of God. The peace of God. You know, the peace of God, I think it ties in with last week's message of Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Where it says, "The peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Okay? That's the peace of God. You know? That surpasses all understanding. That doesn't make sense. I can have peace and calmness in the storm. I can praise You in the storm. When life is beating me up, I can still have the peace of God in my life. Because the Bible says what? I need to pray. I need to be thankful. I need to let my requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and lives in Christ Jesus. That's peaceful. That's good stuff. And when you are in the storms of life, when you have a sickness, you have a disease, you have something going on in your life, because you have peace with God, you can have the peace of God. I hope you want that. Because you don't have to sweat and fret the situations in life. Because you know as a believer, God's in control. You know God's got a plan for your life. You know God is not your enemy. God is your friend. God wants the best for you, not the worst for you. And I think sometimes we struggle with that. Even though the storms are hot and heavy, He still wants the best for us. And I've told you this many times. As we go through different things in our lives, God is using those things in order to mold and shape us into becoming a person that looks like His Son, to become Christ-like. That's why. The only reason why He does those kind of things. And yet we kick and scream and fight and get mad and look what's happening to me now. If we can ever get to the point in our lives when those storms come and we learn how to praise Him like that song said, I'm telling you, we'll be so much better off in this whole world. What are the benefits of that peace that surpasses all understanding? Peace with God. Just like peace with God, our sins are forgiven. We no longer have to deal with that. Peace of God says that we are to pursue the knowledge of God. I'm going to give you a verse here in a second. The Bible says the more you know about God, and the more you know about His character, and you know more about who He is, the Bible says that peace will be multiplied to you. 2 Peter 1:2 says this. Grace and peace will be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus. You want the peace of God? Get more of His Word in your life. Find out who He is, what He's doing. Read the book of John if you want to, because that's all about Jesus. And when you increase your knowledge of Him and His Son, what does that verse say? Grace and peace will be multiplied to you. Calmness, tranquility, serenity will be multiplied to you. I hope you're willing to do that. The peace of God helps us to understand the depth of God's love for us. The depth of God's love for us. How much does He love us? There's a couple of verses there. Dirk didn't even have this one, but it's Romans 5:8. God demonstrated His love for us that while we were yet sinners, what? Christ died for us. You see, we got to get in our lives, we got to get to the point where we know how much God loves us. And we figure out how much He loves us, what great peace that will be. Romans 8:38-39. Great verse. This is how much He loves us too. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things to come, nor things present, nor things to come, no powers, no height, no depth, or any created thing can separate us from the love of God. And if you just look at that list, hold it up there, Dirk, just a little bit. You look at that list. That list tells us what? Nothing on this old world, nothing that's here, nothing that's going to come, nothing high, no, nothing low, nothing wide can separate us from the love of God. Even death can't separate us from the love of God. Even life here can't separate us from the love of God. And if we ever get to that point of we understand how much He loves us, how much He loves us no matter what, we will have peace of God in our hearts. What a great thing that would be. You know, I think the peace of God is kind of like a flower. That it at night it kind of is closed up. And in the morning it kind of blossoms. And as we begin to pursue God in our lives, we will understand just how faithful God is. Okay, when we look to Him for our help, we'll understand how good God is to us. We will understand how much God just loves us because we are His creation, created in His image. I think the peace of God also, we understand that God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The peace of God, I believe, shows us as we allow and look at it, that if we just stand on His promises, that He will never fail us nor forsake us. If we just stand on His promises, we take His promises and His word and believe Him and trust Him. What great peace we can have, the peace of God, if we just would do that. But how many times do we not do that in our lives? How many times are we just going to handle this on our own? How many times are we just tired? We're just tired. Tired of living, tired of the Christian life. And Jesus says in Matthew 11, He says, "Come unto me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's a promise. We can stand on that. And when we stand on that, the peace of God will go, "Whoa, wait a minute. You mean I got to go to Him and He'll, if I just come to Him?" Yeah. Yeah, that's what that means. Or how about I'm not perfect and I sin a little bit. And sometimes as Christians I do and you do. And not pointing fingers, but we do. And sometimes that burden gets a little heavy for us as we sin. John 8:36 tells us, "If the Son has set you free, you are free indeed." You've been born again, you kick it, you mess up, you go to Him, you confess it, He forgives, cleans it up. How freeing is that to live a life now, knowing that because I believe in the Son, I am free. And I am free indeed. See, that's another promise we can stand on. We can stand on that one. When you constantly worry and fret and concerned, the verse last week that I gave you, Philippians 4:6-7, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, and we talked about that last week. But when that keeps welling up inside of us, do we take the verse and trust it and obey it and believe it, or we just do it on our own? And think, well, human nature says I'm supposed to worry about this. I'm supposed to be stressed out about this. Or do we take it to God's word and let Him deal with it? Or how about I don't understand, God, the pain and what I'm going through, God. Well, I'm just going to be tough and I'm just going to handle it. No, Romans 8:28, God's going to take whatever you're dealing with for your good and for His glory. Stand on the promise. So be obedient to that promise. Well, that is putting your faith in the one who said that in His book. That is trusting in the one who put that in the book. That is being obedient to the one who put it in the book. You see, somehow, Christians, we've got to get these words off of this page and put them here and then live it. And when we do that, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That is a promise from His word. And when you don't feel loved, when you don't feel loved, Romans 8, I just read it, Romans 8:38-39 will give you the peace that surpasses all understanding. It is at our fingertips. Did you know it? It is at our fingertips. When John 14:27 says, "Peace I give you, my peace I leave with you, not as the world do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled or afraid." When He says that, He means it. And how do we get that peace with God, and how do we get the peace of God, that tranquility, that serenity, that calmness that I know we all want in times of trouble? We make Jesus, number one, our Lord and Savior. Without that, just forget it. Okay? Make Him Lord and Savior. How do we do that? we draw near to God. Draw near to God. And the next part of that verse says what? And he will draw near to you. Draw near to God. That is, continue to build a relationship with God Almighty. To develop that relationship. How do you develop a relationship? Well, I mean, when I started dating Rhonda, we talked. Okay? We spent time together. We develop a relationship with God. We talk to God. We spend time with God. We understand who God is as we get to know him a little better through his word. We draw near to him. Peace with God. We increase our knowledge. That's what we just said. A knowledge in him. Peace of God. We stand on his promises. Peace of God. When we understand that God wants the best for us, peace of God. And we literally can have this in our lives, Christian friends. No matter what storm we're going through, because we have peace with God, we can have the peace of God. You know, I want the kind of peace in my life that little bird had in that picture. That's the kind of peace I want right there, that little bird. You know, now, when I start singing during a storm, you're not going to hear it. Okay, you don't want to hear it. I can't do that. But when the rains of life come, that bird was just singing at the top of his lungs. Okay? When the storms of life come to you, you being the little bird, what do? We praise him during the storm. Praise him during the storm. Why? Because we have peace with God. And when we praise him, we can have the peace of God in our lives. Judy? Don't you want that kind of peace? That is available to every Christian. I want you to understand that. That's just not for me or for... That is available to us. Why live in this old world and not grab a hold of what God has for his children? And that is complete peace, calmness, serenity, tranquility in this world. The world doesn't want you to have that. But Jesus said, did he not? Peace, I'm leaving with you. My peace I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Man, what a great promise. I urge you to stand on that promise. Judy? As we begin our invitation time, my prayer now, and it's been before we started, is this message will affect you. This will have something that spoke to you. I don't know how it could be, but it did. And if it speaks to you, that's the Holy Spirit. It's not Don. It's your Holy Spirit talking to you that you need to either do something about it, you need to pursue it or something. I don't know. Holy Spirit will teach you that. But I would urge you to do whatever he tells you to do. If you just can't stand on his promises like he wants us to, boy, I just let God know about that. He's not mad at you. He just wants you to confess it and let him clean all that up in your life. Bow our heads and close our eyes, and do business with God right now. And if you need the peace with God, you can come get it today. If you just need the peace of God, I'd ask him for it, and he'll give it to you. As the piano plays, you do business with the God of the universe.